You are listening to Strategies on Benzinga Radio. I'm Luke LeVanway.
And I'm Matthew Boser. Now, Dunkin' Donuts, the big story on the markets today. The IPO is priced at $25. It shot up as far as $29 in intraday trade. It certainly has people talking. Joining us today, we have Sam Yake. He's an analyst at BGB Securities. Sam, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Sam, you follow a variety of restaurants, and I know you've spoken in the media before about Dunkin' Donuts. What jumped out at you today as this company has undergone its IPO?
Well, the first thing that jumped out at me, Luke, you'd have to say is that it originally they announced the pricing range was $16 to $18 a share. I believe they finally priced at $19, and then, it, like you said, it opened at $25 and is trading substantially above that level now at $27 or $28. So it's really a remarkable first-day performance, and the overall market's pretty weak today, so that makes it even more impressive. Investors seem to love the Dunkin' Donuts, and it's quite a rich valuation, but I can see why they're excited about the company.
Now, this is actually a really interesting company, right? It's changed hands a few times. It's actually been public before, correct?
Yes, I believe it was public for many years. It was founded 50 years or so ago by a man named William Rosenberg, and it was very successful as a public company, and then it was taken private. And it passed through a number of hands, and then it went finally into private equity's hands, who have now taken it public again, and they've been very successful in their investment. And one of the reasons I think investors are optimistic about Dunkin' stock is that the private equity investors are going to retain the vast bulk of their holdings, and I believe that they're going to own about 75% of Dunkin' Donuts now going forward. So they see a bright future for the company as well.
Wow, yeah, so this is only a 25% public ownership float.
Yes, and I think the most of the proceeds from the sale of the stock is going to pay down debt. So the private equity folks are, and I think it's three companies. It's Bain, Carlyle, and Thomas Lee are the current private equity owners, and they must be very optimistic because they're going to retain almost all of their stock.
Right, so it was like a leveraged buyout most recently?
Yes, I think they levered it up pretty heavily, and I think that's one of the impetuses for going public now is that they wanted to raise some capital and pay down some debt, which is, I think, the bulk of the IPO proceeds are going to pay down debt.
Yeah, should be good for the business.
Now, let's talk about Dunkin's ownership model. It's completely franchised, which is interesting because similar companies either do corporate ownership or a mix. Starbucks, for example, is entirely corporate. Is this something that you see as a positive factor for Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, most definitely. It's a positive factor. In a way, some of the other restaurants I cover, you have a choice, really. When you own the restaurant lock, stock, and barrel, you have more of an upside. When you franchise it, you certainly give away some of the upside on profitability. But you gain, certainly you could argue much more because your CapEx spending is basically zero. Your franchisees are taking all the capital, putting all the capital in, and you're basically going to get a high margin royalty stream from them. And so if you have franchisees who are willing to invest in the brand like that, it's a terrific strategy to pursue. And Dunkin' is more than 99% franchised, and you have to admire their business model.
So, Sam, do you think this is sort of a new sort of Chipotle, Panera, B-Dubs type stock? Is it going to join those high flyers?
Well, certainly investors seem to think so. I tend to be more of a value investor. So when I look at Dunkin' now and it's trading, I think right now at about 17 times trailing 12-month EBITDA and probably more than 30 times earnings per share, that gets a little rich for me. But if investors do see it as like a Chipotle or a Panera Bread or a Buffalo Wild Wings or any of the really hot restaurant concepts, it could certainly be justified having that type of multiple. But for my money, I tend to be more of a value investor. So I get a little nervous when valuations get real high. And I think we're seeing today Panera Bread reported earnings last night, and I think they weren't quite what people wanted, and the stock's getting whacked about 10% today. So when you get these high valuations, you open the door to potential disappointment.
Now, another potential problem here, I think, is competition. Dunkin' Donuts actually does half of its business, or I think it's over half of its business, in coffee. So do you see Starbucks, McDonald's, which has recently announced that it's going to spend a lot of money on sort of coffee house type establishments, do you see that competition being a problem for Dunkin'?
Yeah, well, you'd have to say the positive is that the Americans drink an awful lot of coffee. So it's a pretty big pool to swim in, and there should be enough market to go around for everybody to potentially be successful. but it's certainly an industry. It's very high margin business, and you tend to have a lot of repeat customers who come in quite frequently. So it's a very attractive area to get. If you can get people to love your coffee and come in frequently, it's a very profitable business. So that's why I think you're seeing, like you said, McDonald's going after it so aggressively, and certainly Starbucks has been dominating the industry. And but Dunkin' Donuts has done a remarkable job. And when you look at them in the Northeast, and particularly New England, where they're dominant, and I think they have one store for every 10,000 people up there, and they say that they have a greater than 50% coffee share in New England. So they're basically taking on the Starbucks and McDonald's of the world in where they're strong and in their strong geographies, and they're doing very well. So you got to believe that Dunkin' Donuts is going to carve out a nice niche in the coffee business.
You know, the restaurant industry has sort of been assailed a little bit lately with, you know, rising coffee and food prices, right? I mean, do you have any sense for how Dunkin' Donuts sort of fits into that picture, how they might be affected by that, relatively speaking?
Yeah, I think certainly all restaurants are being affected by that. And one thing you'd have to say is that when the costs go up for one, they go up for all.
Right.
So that kind of mitigates the impact a little bit. And here again, I would highlight Dunkin's franchise business model. Because when the parent company is just franchising the stores, of course they're interested very much in franchisee profitability, but they kind of have a buffer against the increased cost. That's being really borne by the franchisees, and the parent company is just getting the royalties on the sales. So, of course, they want their franchisees to be profitable as possible, but they kind of have a buffer. When you're such a franchise business, you kind of have a buffer against those increased costs.
Because they're looking for revenues.
Yeah, they're just getting, basically Dunkin' Donuts is making money from a percentage of the revenues of the franchisees, so that the costs don't really enter into it that much. But that said, of course they want their franchisees to do well, because they've said that 90% of their U.S. development, their new unit growth, is coming from existing franchisees. So they certainly have a big interest in seeing their franchisees do well financially. But at the same time, it does provide them a buffer against some of the cost impacts that others might see.
Right. Well, I mean, we're seeing some problems play out with other businesses with similar business models, right? Like a Quiznos, for example. They're having a lot of trouble between the franchisees and corporate.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I think that's one thing where I would give Dunkin' Donuts high marks from what I've seen. I think they're very, very attuned to making their franchisees as profitable as possible, because they know that ultimately that's what's going to drive their unit growth. And new unit growth is what's going to drive their bottom line. And so I think Dunkin' Donuts, when I've heard, has been very good at making sure their franchisees are as profitable as possible. And I think that's a great business strategy. And, you know, I would give them high marks for that, because I cover some other restaurants that have kind of lost sight of making sure their franchisees are profitable. And that can be a disastrous long-term thing if you're a heavily franchised company. I've seen that with some other companies. I cover Denny's, for example, and they're doing much better now, but they kind of had taken their eye off the ball, so to speak, in making sure their franchisees were profitable. And that really has some strong negative repercussions over time. So I would say Dunkin' Donuts has done a great job of making sure their franchisees are prosperous.
Sam, you know, you've highlighted a lot of the stuff you like about Dunkin' Donuts. You've also mentioned that the valuation is a little bit rich for you as a value investor. I'm wondering if you could almost just sort of bottom line it for us. Where would you stack Dunkin' Donuts up compared to some of the other companies you follow in terms of, you know, how this sort of valuation is going to play out, this valuation issue?
Yeah, it's a good point. I have them right now trading around 17 times trailing 12-month EBITDA. When I look at Starbucks, that's around 15 times. And I think another close comp would be Tim Hortons from Canada, which is really the Starbucks of Canada. And that's trading around 12 or 12.5 times trailing 12-month EBITDA. And another company I cover, Krispy Kreme Donut, is around 18 times EBITDA. So those valuations get to be very, very rich to me. And I see other values in the restaurant space that I'm very excited about that are available at cheaper multiples than that. And I kind of like to look where no one else is looking. And right now, certainly Dunkin' Donuts, the whole world is watching it. And in my experience on Wall Street, you don't get great value when everybody's applauding a stock and it's hitting new highs. I tend to want to look where no one else is looking. But that said, you know, you have to admire Dunkin' Donuts' business model and their potential.
What are some of those other ones you're looking at?
I would say, you know, it's interesting. There's a company that when we talk with investors, almost no one's heard about it, but it's very exciting to me. And they're just on the point of having an inflection point in growth. It's called AFC Enterprises, and they actually own the Popeye's chicken chain, which, believe it or not, is the second biggest chicken chain in the world next to KFC. And as we all know, KFC has been a tremendous success internationally, and it's been the engine that's driving Yum Brands, which has a market cap of over $20 billion. And KFC is really the engine driving Yum Brands. And here you have Popeye's Chicken, which is the number two chicken chain in the world behind KFC. And the company has a perfectly clean balance sheet, and there's only 25 million shares outstanding. It's a $15 stock, so it has a enterprise value of a little over $400 million. And I think the growth potential at AFC is just superlative. And they have one of the best management teams I've seen, yet Wall Street doesn't pay any attention to it. And I'm very excited about that company and the stock.
Sounds like one to keep an eye on. Sam Yake, he's an analyst at BGB Securities. Sam, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Strategies on Benzinga Radio. For our complete range of programming, be sure to visit radio.benzinga.com.